I would like to start with prayer. Just after those last two songs, I feel like it's appropriate to go to the Lord in prayer as we're in His presence this morning. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are present in the midst of Your people. Lord, You promised to be present in the midst of the praises of Israel. And as Israel praised You and worshiped You, and Lord, we have Your promise in the New Testament that You are present with us at all times, and especially when we gather together in Your name for the purpose of worshiping You, for the purpose of hearing from You and through Your word. Lord, help each of us this morning to recognize that truth, that You are present here today. That we need to give You our attention, our adoration, our worship, our love. And God, I pray You would help me to exalt You in Your word today. Lord, You promised that Christ be lifted up from the earth, You'd draw all men unto Him, both believers and unbelievers. Lord, I pray that You would draw us to Christ today. That we would only see Christ this morning. We would only hear His voice. Lord, we'd not be listening to these other voices in our head or these distracting thoughts, but Lord, that we'd have clear focus and clear intentional hearing today, listening for Your voice to speak to us. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 5, if you're not already there, Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14. I was going to say 1 through 14, but 11 through 14. Our title of the message this morning is Time to Grow Up. How many of you heard that as kids? It's time to grow up. So a lot of parents need to teach their kids that. They need to tell their kids. So some of them are 30 years old and still living at home. It's time to grow up. Be responsible. You know, one thing that all of us had in common is children. Every single one of us here this morning, as children, we had this in common. And that is the desire to grow up. Every one of us. I mean, it starts very, very early. In fact, it starts when you're about a year old or even before then. When you begin to crawl and you start seeing your siblings or your parents or these big people walking about on two legs, you want to try it. You want to grow up. You want to grow up from crawling. You want to begin walking. And as you're eating the baby food and the milk, after some time, you're watching and observing that your parents or maybe your older siblings are eating something different. And so you want to grow up and you want to eat steak. You want to eat some of that meat instead of that, I want to say, nasty baby food. I've tried it. I know it's not good. You know, when you have babies, you'd always try it just to make sure it's not too hard. That's what we used to do. We didn't have all this fancy stuff where you can heat it up and it heats it up just to the right temperature. We'd put it in the microwave and you didn't know if it was scalding hot or lukewarm or what. So you had to try it, make sure. And so I know it's not good stuff. Steak's better. You know, sometimes I found this funny that my granddaughter Jaylee, I would use the term baby, referring to her. I would, not in a bad way, but in a term of adoration, I say, you're Pop's baby. And she would always correct me. She'd always say, no, I Jaylee. She did not want to be called baby. And that's interesting because we all want to grow up. We don't want to stay babies. We want to grow up. And I think that desire to grow continues into adulthood until you get about mid-50s. And that check engine light goes off. Then you want to go back to your 20s and start over. You know, I think the same is true in our spiritual realm. Most people that are newly born again, they're called babes in Christ. And they, for the most part, true born again babies, they want to grow. They get saved, they want to know more. They want to know more about Jesus. I love that hymn. More about Jesus would I know. And the sad thing, though, about that is that so many are dull of their hearing. They become dull. I want to use that word become because it's actually a word that's in our text. Become dull. At some point, a believer can become dull in their hearing. They can become spiritually lazy and remain a perpetual babe or infant in Christ and never grow up into a mature believer in the faith. In our text this morning, Paul is warning about the danger of not growing up in Christ. Why is it so dangerous? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but in the context here, I'm thinking about that when you are spiritually immature, when you do not grow up in Christ, you are missing out on some great truths about Christ. You do not fully appreciate who He is and the blessings that you have in Christ. And that's what's heartbreaking. And I'm sure it breaks the heart of Christ. And I want to borrow something that Miss Jeannie shared at our table in Connect, that it's not that He's disappointed in us, but disappointed for us. Because when we are spiritually dull in our hearing, Christ is disappointed for us because of what we're missing out on. We're missing out on blessing. We're missing out on wonderful, great truths that would help us so much in our daily personal life. And Paul had been talking about Christ, our great high priest. He's great. We talked about how He's a better high priest. He's a great high priest. We looked at some of those truths in the last two messages of how great He is. But in the last message, he brought up this truth that Christ is so much better because He's of a different order of priesthood than Aaron was. Christ was not a Levite. He wasn't after that order, but He's after the order of Melchizedek. And that was the last thing that He said in verse 10 before He comes to verse 11. And He says, of whom we have many things to say. And I believe He's speaking of Christ, not Melchizedek here. I believe He's speaking of how Christ is after this order. There's a lot of questions, even in my mind, about Melchizedek. And He tries to answer some of those later in chapters 7 through 10. So you have to wait until we get to those chapters. But He kind of pauses in the midst of this subject of Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He pauses because He's like, you know, there's a lot of things I would like to say. There's a lot of things I like to teach. And it says hard to be uttered. And what it means is literally it's hard to interpret this for you to understand. But he tells the reason why. It's not because necessarily that it's a super hard subject or because he's not a good teacher. It's because they're dull of hearing. He says, seeing, ye are dull of hearing. Something I want you to realize this morning, there's no such thing as a static Christian. Not a one of you today that's a born-again Christian, you're not static. You can't just grow to a certain point in your life and just say, I'm just going to sit right here for a while. I'm just going to stay at this stage of growth. That's not possible. You're either maturing in Christ or you're immaturing. I know that's probably not a word, but immature is a word, but you're either maturing or immaturing, or becoming, let me say, becoming immature in Christ. You're either growing intimate with Christ, or you're drawing away from Christ, or drifting away from Christ. He talked about that in chapter 2. If we neglect the things that we have been taught, we can let them slip or we can let them drift. And so we're either growing or progressing in our knowledge of Christ or we're regressing. And in this particular passage, he points out that they were regressing. They were regressing. Instead of maturing, they were going backwards. Because he says, seeing you're dull of hearing, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. They had known the first principles of the oracles of God. They've been taught those things, but now they've regressed so much, they need to be taught the basics all over again. And he uses the word in verse 12 at the latter part, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And this verb here, it's in the perfect tense. And so the idea is that at some point they had started becoming immature and stopped growing in Christ. And the perfect tense in the Greek describes, the best way I could put it, be like a point in the past with an arrow going into the present and on into the future. So it's like it's continuous action. And so at some point back there, they stopped growing in Christ. And they were now degressing or regressing in Christ, and it was an ongoing thing. So I want you to understand this morning that you, at no time, are you static in your walk with Christ. You're either growing or you're not growing. You're either progressing or regressing. And I want to just say this, that just because you have been a Christian many years, and some of you here have been a Christian for many years, just because you've been saved for many years does not mean that you're mature. I want you to think about this. You may know some of the doctrine. You may know what you believe. You may know what your church believes. But if you are not growing, you could be a senior saint, been saved for 50 plus years, but if you're not growing, the only other alternative is you're regressing. That's it. So I want you to think about that. This is for all of us. This is not just for the seniors or just for the young baby Christian. This is for all of us. No longer how long you've been saved, we need to look at our growth spiritually and look at where we are with Christ. Are we progressing or are we regressing? What is it? Because here he's warning them of the danger of regressing, because as we regress, what he's going to say when we get into the hard passage next week in chapter 6, we're going to see more of this truth of where it's going to lead them. You know, and I say that just because you've been many years as a Christian doesn't mean you're mature. Another example of that would be a 30-year-old still living at home with mom and dad, acting like a child. Just because they're 30 years, they're an adult. They're a young adult, but they're not acting like a young adult. You see my point? So I want to ask the question this morning. We're going to answer this question from the text. The question is this: how can you know if you're not growing in Christ? How can you know if you're not growing in Christ? This is very important that we ask ourselves this. How can I know I'm not growing in Christ? It could be asked another way. How can I know that I'm growing in Christ? But we're going to look at it. How can I know if I'm not growing in Christ? And the first one we're going to take from verse 11, the first point is you will have a dullness toward the Word of God. A dullness towards the Word of God. I want to read it again. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Seeing you are dull of hearing. They had a dullness toward the Word of God. There's a lot that he wanted to teach them about Christ, but they couldn't receive it. They couldn't hear it. And this was not a problem of their physical ears at all. This dullness of hearing is not a hearing problem. It wasn't because he was talking to senior saints that were needing hearing aids. He's talking about the heart. There was a heart problem in these people's lives that gave them this dullness of heart, or this dullness, dull hearing. The word dull, let me explain what it means. It means lazy, slothful, or sluggish. Lazy, slothful, sluggish. And the only other time this Greek word is used in the entire New Testament is in verse 11 in chapter 6. Verse 12. But I want to read verse 11 and 12, chapter 6. Look there just quickly. One chapter ahead. Chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. This word slothful is the word we're looking at. That ye be not dull, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So that's, you see it translated as slothful in this particular verse. So he's talking about spiritual sluggards is what he's talking about here. These people have become slothful in their hearing of the Word of God. They become lazy in their spiritual lives. And that's what landed them at this place where they were regressing because of their laziness. Because you can see there in verse 11 in chapter 6 that word diligence. You know, to grow spiritually, I want to say, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself in the points, but to grow spiritually, it takes diligence on our part. Diligence. For a baby to learn how to go from crawling to walking, it takes diligence. They don't just all of a sudden start walking. They have to work at it. They have to first hold themselves up and stand up next to the couch or the coffee table, and they might take a step and fall, but it's over a process of diligence that they grow and learn how to walk. Well, he's talking here about people that have become spiritually lazy. And as I said, it's not anything wrong with their ears, physical ears. What was wrong was their heart. Their heart was not eager to embrace the Word of God. I want to point out something, that this is the third passage we call a warning in Hebrews. There's five of them. We've looked at two already, and there's a progression in this. And so I want you to go back to chapter 2 verse 1. This is the first warning or word of exhortation that he gives in Hebrews. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And you know, verse 3, for example, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So I want you to notice this first warning. He's talking about neglecting what we've heard, not taking earnest heed to what we heard. How many times we come to church or we go to Connect class, Sunday school class, and oh, we read our Bible in our morning time with the Lord. Oh, we listen to a podcast sermon. How many times do we listen, but after it's over, we're like, oh, that was good. And then we move on to the next thing. We have to give earnest heed to what we've heard. Earnest heed meaning do something with this. Apply it in your life. Meditate on it. Share it with others. Act upon it. And so that's the first step. We start neglecting what we've heard. Now the second warning is found in chapter 3. As he tells us to consider our apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. But beginning in verse 7 is where the warning starts. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your ears. No, it didn't say that, did it? Harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. And then he tells us in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And so I want you to note that when we start neglecting what we've heard, and I'm talking about what we've heard from God, whatever means that is, that through preaching or teaching or personal time with God, when we do not take earnest heed, when we neglect what we've heard, I want you to notice the next step is it leads to drifting, that lest these things slip. It leads to drifting, but the next step over in chapter 3 is a hard heart. So I want you to think about the progression here, or we could say regression. First is we hear the Word of God, we hear God speak to us, and it's clear as a bell. But we don't give earnest heed to it. We don't act on it. What happens? We start regressing. And as we're regressing, the next step is we harden heart. You know, because he warns next, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's like he's adding on to that warning, the first one. Get earnest heed to what you've heard. Don't neglect these things. Now it's a little stronger language. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then we come to our text. As we develop hard hearts, if we continue to regress and we're not giving earnest heed, and we start developing a hard heart, the next step is we're dull in our hearing. We become spiritually apathetic. We become spiritually slothful towards the Lord, towards the Word of God, towards any kind of spiritual growth in our life, towards church, towards worship, you name it. We become spiritually sluggards. I want you to turn to Matthew 13:15. I want you to listen to what Jesus says, and I'm going to prove to you that, not just from what I shared, but from what Jesus said, that the dullness of hearing is not a hearing problem of the physical ear, but is a heart problem. It's when our heart becomes hard towards God, hard toward the Word of God, because of neglect of our spiritual lives. Matthew 13:15, Jesus said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now, this waxed gross, it just basically means their heart became fat. It became callous or insensitive. And one of the definition words, dull. I thought that was interesting. When I was looking up waxed gross, one of the definitions was dull. So I want you to think about it. This people's heart is dull. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Now, I'm not going to talk about the context of that passage, but I just want you to see the connection between a heart problem and dull hearing. There's a clear connection. Very clear. When your heart becomes dull, when your heart becomes insensitive to the things of God, when you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're hardening your heart, in other words, you're not acting upon it, you're not sensitive to it. And I wonder how many Christians do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday over years of their spiritual life. If I hadn't been talking about it, I could probably ask, what did I preach last Sunday? And maybe a few can say, but many would be like, "Oh, what was that?" It's because you didn't do anything with it. You didn't do anything. If you don't do anything with the message today, you're dull of hearing. You're a spiritual sluggard. You know, the problem in churches more often than not is that of dull hearers, not dull preachers. I know sometimes I can be dull. But most of the time, the problem is dull hearing. I don't know how many times I've heard over the years, "Well, I'm just not getting nothing out of the message. I'm just not getting fed." There's people that have, in my past, that ministry, that I can, people be leaving the church and ask them, "Why are you leaving?" "Well, we're just not getting fed." What? I mean, it baffled me as a young preacher, because I'm like, I'm preaching expository verse by verse, going through the Bible, and it's there. I'm laying it out, a platter for you to eat. And you're not getting fed. The problem is you're not eating. So let me say again, to grow in Christ requires diligence. As we read in chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, verse 12 adds two other things, faith and patience. Diligence, faith, and patience, those are three things. If you're going to grow spiritually, you need to have in your spiritual life. You need to have diligence. Diligence toward the Word of God. Diligence towards obedience. Acting on what you've heard. Give the earnest heed to those things which you've heard. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Purposefully not harden your heart. But be sensitive to God's voice. Let God convict you if that's what He wants to do. Let God comfort you if that's what He's wanting to do. But have diligence about it. But have faith. It always requires faith. When God speaks, it requires faith on our part. Because usually what God asks us to do is something we can't do. Not in and of ourselves. But it's only when we put faith in Him that we see His power giving us strength to do what He called us to do. But patience in this particular verse is referring to endurance, enduring hardship, enduring hard trials. And it takes diligence to grow. It takes patience to grow. And during hard trials, I think of yesterday, I got a test of my patience for sure. Riding my bike farther than I should have went. But in our spiritual life, we must have these things to grow. And so I want to ask you before we move to the next point, are you diligent about hearing the Word of God? Not just right now in preaching time, but are you diligent about it every day? Are you listening for God to speak every day? And He does if you'll let Him. And I know this is hard for Baptists sometimes to comprehend, but there's times He can even speak to you apart from the Bible. Now, it's never going to contradict the Bible. Don't get me wrong. It never will contradict the Bible. But there's times God will speak in that small, still voice. It's clear as a bell. But if you're dull of hearing, you won't hear it. But are you diligent about hearing the Word of God? Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit says? Are you teachable? Are you desirous for God to speak to your life? And are you willing to do what He says? Are you saying, Lord, like Saul did, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? We're going to come to the second point. How do I know if I'm spiritually immature? The first one was you have a dullness towards the Word of God. Secondly, you will have an inability to share the Word of God. An inability to share the Word of God. Verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I want you to say, not everyone, before you just mark this off, well, I'm not a teacher. I don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. Well, not everybody does. But every Christian ought to be able to teach the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles, it's talking about the ABCs. The elementary truths, the baby truths. You ought to be able to teach your children and your grandchildren how to be saved. Everybody ought to be able to do that. You don't have to have the pastor lead your child to Christ. You should be able to lead your child to Christ. That's elementary. You may not be able to tell your child and explain hyper-dispensationalism or sub-lapsarianism. You're like, what? Yeah, I know. Heavy theological truth. You may not be able to do that. You may not be able to teach them all about the end times. You may have some general ideas and knowing what's going to happen, but you may not be able to teach some of these bigger, meatier doctrines, but you should be able to teach the first principles. I want you to look back in chapter 3, in verse 13. Notice what he said. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Who's he speaking to? Every single one of you that are saved. This is not addressed to pastors. This is not addressed to deacons. It's not addressed to Sunday school teachers or those with the gift of teaching or those with the gift of exhortation. It's addressed to believers all across the board. He says you are to exhort one another. You ought to be able to speak truth into someone's life. When you see your brother in Christ slipping or become spiritually slothful, you ought to be able to speak truth into their life. You ought to be able to go to them and give them scripture. That's what he's talking about, being teachers here. And some, even at that, even after reading this verse, some still think, well, I still can't do that. Well, look in Romans 15. In Romans 15:14, Paul says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you." And he's writing to the church there at Rome. So he's all the people in the church, all believers. "I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Paul said, I'm persuaded of all of you, brethren, that you are able to admonish one another. You're able to teach one another. At least the elementary principles, for sure. But I say all that to say this, that these people Paul's writing to, they were not even able to do that. All because of spiritual laziness, immaturity. Because they regressed, they did not take earnest heed to what they'd heard, and then they hardened their heart, and then now they're dull of hearing. So they're regressing in their spiritual life. So right now, they've forgotten the first principles. They forgot the ABCs. The baby stuff. Because notice what he says. Look at what he says again. He says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. They had already been taught. They had known them. But now they're needing to be taught again. The first principles. And are become. Or you could say by the verb tense here, becoming such as have need of milk. They were regressing. I want to just say that truth heard that is not applied in your life and shared with others, it will be lost. Truth heard that is not applied in your life and shared with others will be lost. So truth that you hear today from God that is not applied and shared with others, it will be lost. And next Sunday, you will know nothing about what I preach today. You might be able to, Hebrews 5. Okay, what about Hebrews 5? Well, something about hearing. See, you've already lost it. You've already lost the whole message. And that's how it is. And I say that even of myself. I've been there, done that. Back in Matthew 13, you know, they were asking Jesus, why is he speaking in parables? And he kind of gives an explanation, but Matthew 13, verse 12, this is what I want to read. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And in the context, he's talking about hearing. So when you have, when you get to hear the Word of God, and have it in the sense you own it and you possess it and you act on it, you're going to be given more. So it's like when God teaches you some elementary baby truth and you act on it and you apply it, then God's going to teach you B, C, D, and so on. But if you don't act on it, you're not going to get beyond A. And so that's kind of what he's saying here. You'll lose what you even have. He goes on, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But I want you to notice verse 16. He's speaking this to his disciples, his followers. Notice what he said in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Let me ask you, do your eyes see? Do your ears hear? There's some that were dull of hearing. They couldn't hear. Some, they were spiritually blind. They couldn't see. They couldn't see with their eyes. They couldn't hear with their ears. They couldn't understand with their heart. Why? Because their heart problem. Hard heart. What do you see and hear? Can you see and hear Jesus? Do you know the elementary truths that you can teach others? That's how you know if you're spiritually not growing, is if you can't teach others. If you can't teach others the elementary truths, then you've got a spiritual problem. The third thing we come to, how do I know I'm not growing spiritually, is you're on a baby food diet. You're on a baby food diet. At the end of verse 12, he says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And the word he uses for babe is like an infant babe, a baby that cannot speak. We're not talking about a toddler that can blabber and say mama and more. And we're talking about before that, they can't even speak other than cry. You know what? Paul speaks here. I bet these words really stung when these people first heard them. These Christians first heard these things. I bet they stung and no doubt must have embarrassed them, because basically he's just saying to them, you're a bunch of adults still wearing baby diapers. You're still on the bottle. You're still sucking your thumb. I think this exhortation was meant to shock and motivate. Get them to pull their thumbs out of their mouth and say, I'm not a baby. Just like Jaylee. I'm not a baby. I'm Jaylee. He's wanting these believers to say, I'm not a baby. You're not? Well, act like it. Grow up. You know, if we fail to diligently hear and obey the word of God to work at growing in Christ, we're not going to be able to eat the meat of the word. We're going to have so many things we're not going to be able to understand. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. I'm still growing. But this verse 13, I want you to understand that it has the idea of exclusive diet of milk. Because even adults drink milk. At least some of you. I know a lover of milk sitting out there. Tim corrected me on Wednesday night. I was talking something about do we want a milk type of church or a steak type of church? I said most people want a milk church. They don't want the steak. They can't handle it. So maybe that's why people don't like our church. But he said, but I like milk. I want both. But he was correct. Adults, they don't have an exclusive diet of milk only. They eat steak as well. They eat chicken, fish, other things. But here he's talking about these Christians, they had need of an exclusive diet of milk only because they could not eat solid food. They could not digest solid truths because of their immaturity. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 3 because Paul wrote about it to that church. Same thing in different words. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know, that'd be another additional point if I was in that text, but we know we're spiritually immature if we walk carnally and instead of spiritually. But anyway, so we see there that Paul could not even give that church meaty doctrines of the word, things that would help them grow in Christ, because they were babies. They were perpetual infants. And as I mentioned this word babe in verse 13 in our text, it's nepios. And it means not to speak. That's literally what it means, not to speak. So these people, they were like an infant that could not speak. Metaphorically, it speaks of someone who's childish. These adults were childish in the faith. Look in Ephesians 4. And this is show you another reason why it's dangerous to be spiritually immature. And it'll help you to see even more clearly how many there are out there that's spiritually immature. And this will basically go on with the next point we'll be getting to. But Ephesians 4:14, he says that we henceforth be no more children. Now the word children translated here is nepios, meaning not to speak, babies, infants, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, we're to grow up. We're to grow up spiritually so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pipe. And listen, today there's a lot out there, a lot of false doctrine through social media and through podcasts and TV, all sorts of media now where all kinds of false teaching is spreading like wildfire. But if you are spiritually immature, you're going to take that in and you're going to receive it. But if you are a mature Christian, you're going to be able to, well, as we come to our next point, you're going to have spiritual discernment. So one way you can know you're not spiritually growing is you do not have any spiritual discernment. You do not have any spiritual discernment. You see so many people accepting all kinds of doctrine out there because they don't have spiritual discernment. They can't discern between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, because they're babies in Christ. Let's read verse 15 or 14, I'm sorry. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age. Now, full age has the idea of maturity, complete, fully grown. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, in other words, a spiritually mature believer can discern. They have spiritual discernment. They have knowledge. They have wisdom. They're walking in the Spirit. They've had their senses exercised by reason of use. I want to explain some of this, but before I do, I want to just say again, baby Christians, they don't have any discernment of what's good for them. And let me just kind of give you an illustration. Babies, when they're crawling, at that crawling stage, you have to be careful what you leave on the floor. They'll put anything in their mouth. A piece of glass, broken glass, a bug. One of my nephews, he liked to eat bugs. Find a dead roach, eat it. They don't know what's good or bad. A marble. I mean, that can be dangerous. They can choke on that. They don't have any discernment. They're babies. But that carries over into the spiritual realm, that if we are babies in the faith, we don't have any discernment. We don't know what's good and bad. We hear somebody preach, they have the Bible, and they're quoting a verse, and they're banging on the pulpit. Well, that must be right. It's from the Bible. Yeah, but even the devil uses the Bible. He used the Bible to tempt Jesus. Just because someone uses the Bible doesn't mean that they're interpreting the Bible properly. You have to have discernment. How do you have discernment? Well, you got to grow spiritually and become mature and be growing in the Lord. How do we grow in the Lord? I've already mentioned some things. I'm going to mention some more. I mentioned already, you have to be diligent. You have to have faith and patience. But something here in this verse that stands out to me, the first word, use. He said, who by reason of use. I looked up this word, use, and it has the... It refers to a habit or a practice, whether a body or mind. Reason of use refers to a habit or a practice. It's something that we do habitually, something that we practice daily. It's like some of you, or most of you, I hope all of you, have a habit of brushing your teeth every day. It's a practice. It's for your good health. And so by reason of use, he's talking about a habit or a practice. It says, have their senses exercised. The senses referring to their mind, their understanding. Exercise is an interesting word here. It's gymnazo. What does that sound like? Gymnazo. Gymnasium. It's where we get gymnasium. The Greek word gymnazo means a place where you train. And so they have their senses trained. Think of an athlete training, working out in the gym, exercising, and doing it with a habit. So a person that goes to the gym faithfully and they work out day by day by day, they're going to see some physical results. Would you all agree? If it's weightlifting, if they're a bodybuilder, they're going to grow. I mean, if they, by reason of use, they have their physical senses exercised. I mean, you'll know if I start working out at the gym with weights in about a year, you'll know. I'll be having bigger suits. My muscles will be popping out. I'll be growing. But just as we grow physically, just as we have physical senses, there's also spiritual senses. And as we exercise our spiritual senses, we develop spiritual discernment. That's what it's saying here. Here's a truth for you. You might want to write this down. The idea in this verse is that spiritual growth is the result of developing godly habits. Spiritual growth is the result of developing godly habits. And I get this right out of the text. You can look up these words. You can go home, pull out a Strong's Concordance, look these words up, look at their original word, and you will see reason of use speaks of a habit or a practice. You'll see that exercise speaks of training and working out. So when you habitually exercise your spiritual senses, you're going to get spiritual discernment. You're going to grow spiritually. Let me give you some examples. As you spend daily time with Christ, it's a discipline, just like a discipline to go to the gym or a discipline to get on a running program and to run and prepare for a race. It's a discipline. And some of you know I did a 40-mile bike race yesterday, and it was hard. Even though I worked hard to discipline myself to get ready for that, that it was a daily discipline and practicing and exercising and getting the body ready to do that. Well, same way spiritually, we have to daily discipline ourselves. Spending time with Christ, it's a discipline because it's... How many of you just naturally get up early in the morning? Some of you do. That's all you've done. But others, it's not natural. I mean, for me, it's not. I have to work hard to get up early. And especially early enough to spend time with Christ with no distractions. So that discipline of spending time with Christ, that discipline of feeding on His Word, that discipline of practicing it and acting upon it and letting it apply to my life, that's a discipline. Sharing it with others, it's a discipline. But I guarantee you, it'll mean more to you if you share it with others. And that's what it means, exhort one another daily. You should have an outlet at least once a week where you can get with other believers and share. I want to share what God showed me in His Word this week. I want to share what God's doing in my heart and my life. So I'm saying, as we develop these habits and we exercise our senses, our spiritual senses, we'll be able to discern both good and evil. And not just that, we'll be able to eat solid food. We'll be able to eat meat. We'll have some spiritual teeth to grind on those meaty truths of the Word of God. So just as our physical bodies have senses without which we could not function, so our inner spiritual man has spiritual senses. And our spiritual life can't function without these senses. And if we don't exercise them, just think, what's going to happen? Dullness of hearing. Spiritually slothful. Just as some people are slothful physically, they have no physical disciplines. They're lazy. So people in their spiritual life are lazy. They have no discipline whatsoever. They don't discipline themselves to get up early and spend time with the Lord. They don't discipline themselves to read the Bible and study it and meditate in it. Pray through it. They don't discipline themselves to walk with Christ. They don't discipline themselves to share truth with others. And they wonder why they're not getting anything out of the preaching. We have to exercise. 1 Timothy 4, I want you to notice what Paul said there. 1 Timothy 4 and 7. He said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Train yourself. Practice spiritual disciplines. That's what he's saying. I'm gonna wrap this up. So how can we know if we're growing spiritually or we're not growing spiritually? Well, we've seen four things right straight out of God's Word. You can see it very clearly if you look at these verses. It's not some points that just made up. It's right from the Word of God. You know you're not growing if you have a dullness toward the Word of God. You're spiritually slothful. You're apathetic to the Word of God. You hear it, but you don't do anything with it. It's kind of like white noise. You know, there's some noise going on right now that you probably don't. You know it's there, but you're not paying any attention to it. The fan's running. You know, when you're at home, the fridge may be running. You know it's there and you can hear it, but you're really not paying any heed to it at all. Well, that's the way a dull hearer is to the Word of God. They hear it, but then they don't hear it. You know you're not growing in Christ if you have an inability to share the Word of God, if you just are not able to share truth because you're not growing in Christ. You're not spending time with Christ. Listen, if you spend time with Christ, you're going to have plenty to share. There wouldn't be enough time in a day to share what God gives you. If you're on a baby food diet, you can only just take milk. You're not growing spiritually. You don't have any spiritual teeth. And the last one, you don't have any spiritual discernment. And on the positive side, I gave you some things that to grow spiritually, it takes diligence, it takes faith, it takes patience, endurance. For us to grow, we have to exercise. We have to have some godly habits that we exercise daily. You know, some Christians, when they get discouraged because they miss a day or two and they don't go back. Listen, I don't run every day. If I was in my 20s, I probably would, but my body don't allow me no more. But I still, you know, there has to be rest. But so don't get overly concerned if you miss a day. Keep at it. Keep a habit and a practice going of walking with Christ and spending time with Him. And things happen in life, but just keep at it. Keep that discipline going. Be consistent. Consistency is key. Exercise those spiritual senses. You know, I love a verse that we, over the last year, it's been shared several times. Brother Tim, I think at camp, some of the teens may have shared this, but it's Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a spiritual sense. It's inviting us, urging us to taste, to experience that the Lord is good. You can do it in multitude of ways. You know, I know this sounds silly, and I even hesitate to share this because I don't want any attention on myself at all. But I had a rough week last week, and physically, my shoulders were hurting. First part of the week, I couldn't get into the chiropractor until this week, and so. You can ask my wife. I'd be rolling on my rolling thing, trying to get it straightened out. And she would put some of her oils on my back before bed and help me sleep.
And one day I stretched on that and it kind of moved a little bit. And, well, my shoulders got better, then my hips were hurting, or at least one side. My left hip was hurting. I had sciatic nerve. I knew my hips were out, and I called again to see if they had any openings. No openings till Monday, and I'm like, I got to ride 40 miles Saturday. How am I going to do this with a hip that hurts? Well, she gave me her concoctions, and I got up the next day. I think it was Friday, yes, and it shifted over to the right. Isn't that crazy? And so I get up yesterday morning, and I mean, my right hip was hurting. But I was determined, I'm going to this race. I'm paid, I'm going. And so I'm praying, spending time with the Lord after breakfast, and I'm just standing at the table in the kitchen because I don't want to sit down because my hip hurts. You may think it's stupid, but I prayed. I said, Lord, can you please help my hip get in place or stop hurting? I honestly prayed and I stopped. And I was just walking around in the kitchen praying. And I just went like this. It popped. And I could feel it on the right side move in my sacrum area. It moved. And I'm like, it don't hurt anymore. I'm not making this story up. This is what really happened. And I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. I feel pretty good. And so I go to that race and I'm having a good time, enjoying the scenery. I've never been in this place. Beautiful place. If you've never been to Mosquero, it's really beautiful. You go up in the valley up to this real high plateau, 6,000 feet elevation. When you get up there, it's as flat as can be, and it's like a new land. I mean, it's just flat as far as you can see, except for to the south. So I'm doing this race, antelope out there, just enjoying the beautiful scenery. Beautiful day. Not a whole lot of wind, a little bit, especially at the end. Last 5 miles was, I was in serious pain. My quads were just protesting. I'd get off my bike, I'd walk, try to stretch them. It still hurt walking. I'd get on my back. Finally, here comes a rider that I passed way back. He passed. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just, quads hurt. Then these two ladies come up on the bike. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Just go on. I'm walking, riding. I'm like, I'm looking. I can't even see the town because it's up over a hill. A long, long, long. And I could see on my GPS, I had 4 miles. At first, it was like 5 or 6. But at this point, it's like 4 miles. And I'm like, Lord, I can't pedal another pedal stroke. I started crying to the Lord, Lord, please, I've got it. Nobody's coming for me. This is entirely self-supporting race. They're not coming for you. I was out of water at that point. And the wind's blowing, my mouth's getting dry. I'm like, Lord, I've got to get. I mean, it's just 4 miles on a bike. It's not a big deal. I'm like, I got to get there, but it hurts. I prayed, Lord, please help me. You're my strength. You're my rock. Help me, Lord. I get on my bike the last time. I start pedaling. Feels pretty good. Put the gear up a little higher. Feels pretty good. Keep going. Moving up that hill. Put my head down in the wind. Go up that hill. I didn't feel no pain. I get to the top. I can see the highway down there, the town. Mile and a half left. I got in town. I was like, yes. Thank you, Lord. As soon as I got off the bike, pain came back. I was walking over there to go get something to eat. No, I'm serious. We can pray at any time. The Lord cares about even the little minute details. You think, well, why would the Lord even care about a race? He don't care about a race. He don't care about a bike race. But he cares about me. He cares about me. And when I talk to him, he listens. And it's not because I'm special, it's because I'm his child just like you are. He's my great high priest. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is so much better. Try him out and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yesterday, I saw the goodness of God. I'm serious. When I was driving home, even though I was pretty miserable, 2.5 hours driving home, I was miserable. I was hurting. Thankfully, I'm not hurting today. But I was praising God for his goodness. Seriously, just for him showing and demonstrating to me he is good. I tasted the Lord yesterday. And I saw that he's good. I exercised my senses yesterday. And it helped me even have more confidence in my God, my Savior. That when I'm on a race spiritually, I know that my God's going to help me. When I get into a hard place, when I get into a place where it hurts, I can cry to him, knowing that he will hear an answer. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Father, we come to you today. We can't thank you enough for loving us as a father. Lord, as a father, there are times you have to chasten. There are times you have to discipline and correct us. And this passage that we have before us that we looked at this morning, it's a word of warning. It's an exhortation. It's addressing a common sin in all of our lives. That we can regress spiritually because we just get spiritually lazy. We stop practicing and exercising ourselves in the godly disciplines and habits that help us grow. I've been there and done that. Lord, I'm thankful that throne of grace is a place we can go to get restored. It's a place we can go to get revived. It's a place we can go to help in time of need, to get our course corrected. That if we are not growing spiritually, we can go to that throne of grace and we can get the grace needed to put these principles to work, to be diligent in our spiritual disciplines and habits, and to exercise faith and patience so that we might grow. Draw near to Christ. God, I'm thankful for that throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus, for being a great high priest who understands touch with the feeling of our infirmities, our pains. You hear us when we cry. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you are to us. Forgive us when we fail you and don't put you first in our lives, and when we don't give you our whole hearts and we don't have a passion for you, we don't have ears giving earnest heed to what you say to us. God, help us today to have ears to hear, eyes to see. And God, there may be someone here that's not saved, does not know Jesus. Lord, that you might draw them to Jesus today. They might see that he invites them to come to him. Their heavy burden. If they're laboring with their heavy burden, they come to him. They can find rest in salvation. Rest in forgiveness. Rest in all the burdens of guilt of sin being taken away. Just in an instant. If they would come and put their faith in Christ. Please, Lord, today I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Use it in our lives today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.